I was on the phone just last week with a colleague of mine, and he alluded to an email that he had received some time ago with some unsolicited and some rather unhelpful, if not even unkind, feedback he had received in this email. And the two of us took a moment to confide in each other just about how taxing, how tiring it can be sometimes to always have to take the high road, right? We talked about how maybe emotionally draining it can be to always be measured in response to what feels like, you know, harsh criticism, you know, always be patient, always calm, always gracious, always understanding, and so forth. And certainly neither of us would ever do this, but we both smiled at the thought of how refreshing it could be just maybe once, I don't know. Just once to respond to inappropriate criticism with a little less of a filter. Anybody know what I mean by this? Okay, judging by the room here, I'm guessing you maybe do know what I mean. And so in that case, I want to ask you a question here today. Do you ever get tired of doing the right thing or the responsible thing or the mature thing time and time again? Okay, I think that this has to have been a struggle throughout the entire history of mankind. In fact, one of the very first church leaders ever, 2,000 years ago, his name was Paul. He wrote to some of the very first Jesus followers. Here's what he said. He says, "So let's not get tired of doing good." And I don't think that he writes, "Let's not get tired of doing good," unless he was noticing even then that sometimes people grow tired of doing good. Okay? The truth is, as I, you know, we're all kind of responding here, I think we're all on the same page. The truth is, sometimes it's hard to keep doing the right thing time and time again. Sometimes it's hard to always live a life full of integrity, right? Each time, at every moment, every new day. It's hard to live with a life of integrity the way that we maybe hope that we would. And so if you haven't been with us all month, we are concluding today a series called Dan the Man, where we have been studying the Old Testament book of Daniel, talking all about integrity. Okay, and if you're wondering, you know, what's with this, you know, old book that we're talking about? I didn't even know that was a book, right? The reason we're studying the book of Daniel to talk about integrity is because Daniel and his friends, they display courageously integrity over and over and over again in the heat of the moment when it really matters most. And so we have been looking in on their lives in Babylon. We've been trying to learn how it is that we would develop the same kind of integrity and how it is that we could display and maybe even embody more of it in our lives when it truly matters most, when we are in the heat of the moment in whatever area in our lives, right? Integrity, as we have seen throughout these 5 weeks. Integrity leaves a positive wake wherever it goes. It's so contagious, right? It could be so influential. It opens doors and even opens hearts that would otherwise remain closed, okay? But the truth is, right, as great and as contagious and as integrity can be, the truth is what makes it hard is it's not always easy, right, to live a life of integrity. It's not always fun and it's not always popular. And so the question I want to pose to you today as we bring this series to an end is this question right here. How do we sustain integrity for the long haul? I mean, day in and day out, year over year, right? How do we sustain this kind of integrity in our lives for the long haul? How do we keep it going through the highs and through the lows? How do we keep it going, you know, in between the peaks and in the valleys, right? When we've been through the fire, or maybe when we've been through the ringer for a month or for a year, or maybe for a decade or for longer, how do we continue to stay sharp? How do we continue to do the good thing or the right thing? How do we sustain a life that is truly full of integrity? And so as we've done for each week in this series, we're going to turn back to the book of Daniel in order for us to discover the answer to this question. Because in chapter 6, which is where we're going to primarily look today, in chapter 6, Daniel demonstrates for us, I believe, how it is exactly that this is possible, how it is that we can sustain integrity for the long haul. So far, Daniel's existence in Babylon to this point, it has been a roller coaster, to say the least. I mean, I think that what he's experiencing there, I think it would wear out and it would break down even the best of us. I think it would get the best of even the best of us. But Daniel, he never falters, right? He never wavers. And so if you would, very quickly here, allow me to recap just what he has experienced so that we can remember, right, as we get to chapter 6 and how it is that Daniel sustains his integrity for the long haul. If you would, allow me just to recap everything that he has endured so far. Daniel's homeland in Judah, this is what we talked about in week 1, it's invaded and it's destroyed, and he and all of his people are taken as captives to Babylon. Babylon in general is just a pretty godless city. Pretty godless place, and it stands for just about the opposite of everything that Daniel and his friends and his people stand for. As a captive in a foreign nation, Daniel is enlisted to be of service to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, which included like a deconstruction of who Daniel was and an attempt at kind of reprogramming Daniel and his friends' minds in fully into kind of Babylonian culture and Babylonian ways of life and ways of thinking. But as we continued to journey along, we discovered that Daniel resists the temptation. And rather than responding in anger, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is actually quite impressed with the conviction and with the wisdom of Daniel. And Daniel becomes a trusted servant in the king's court. And his friends, too, are given favorable positions as well. Let me just keep going here. In an unrelated scenario, the king becomes furious with his servants, his wise men, they call them. He becomes furious with their ability to interpret a dream of his. And so what does he do? This guy is a hothead. He actually orders, because some of his wise men can't help him out, he orders for the execution of all of his servants, all of his wise men, which now included Daniel and his friends. Okay, but with his life kind of here on the line, God had given Daniel special wisdom to interpret this dream. And so he requests an audience with the king, and he actually satisfies the king's request, saving everyone's life. And once again, Daniel is promoted. Then we looked at the story of this Babylonian king building a giant 90-foot statue of himself, demanding that people bow down and worship to him. And when Daniel's buddies, also respected servants in the king's court, when they refuse to bow, the king freaks out, threatens to throw them in a fiery furnace. We talked about this last week. Throw them in a furnace if they do not bow, and they don't, right? They said, "We believe that God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will still not bow down to you." And so they're thrown into the fiery furnace that is so hot that it actually kills the guards that threw them in there. But they do not die. They don't even burn. Their hair or their clothes is not even singed in the least bit. Instead, a fourth figure was spotted along with them in the flames, in the fire, and it was the image of God's own son there with them in the fire, protecting them. Okay, the king is amazed, and he declares once and for all that the God of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego is the God that has the power to save like no other. Okay, that's where we've been, and we didn't cover exactly what happens next here. Daniel actually interprets another dream for King Nebuchadnezzar and gains even more trust and respect, and then things start to shake up. Many years later, there is a new king. Nebuchadnezzar out, Belshazzar in. No history, no past with Daniel and his wisdom and all this stuff. So Daniel is still serving in the royal court, and the new king, Belshazzar, has a problem that he needs solved. Okay, and he responds to these kind of problems very much like the old king. He has a problem that he needs to be solved, and none of his wise men, none of his servants can solve this problem for him. But someone speaks up and say, "Hey, Belshazzar, there is someone in your kingdom who can help you." Okay, and any guesses at who it was? Daniel. bingo, right? Daniel solves the problem that no other wise man could solve. Here's the result, Daniel 5:29. Look on the side screen. It says, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes. A gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Okay? Here is why I give you this big, long, dry summary and review of what it is that has happened so far. Because I want you to see, I want you to remember what has taken place. I want you to see what continues to happen. There's more conflict. There's more drama. There's more tension and more uncertainty. But once again, Daniel is steady and he is steadfast through it all. And he continues to end up on top, right? I get exhausted just recounting like the Cliff Notes version of all that Daniel has experienced, right? Up, down, this is bad. It's okay, this is bad. It's tiring just to do like the summary review of the whole thing, okay? Can you imagine the kind of toll that this would take over a lifetime? I mean, talk about growing tired of doing good. That the Bible doesn't say it specifically, but I have to imagine, right? Having read these stories, you know, inside and out, I have to imagine that there were moments when Daniel was growing tired of doing good and standing strong and sticking to his guns and staying loyal to what he believed and standing up for his God. I, for one, am inspired by the integrity that is visible at every single turn. And yet, Daniel is still not out of the woods. This marathon is not over yet. It was in verse 29 that we saw that Belshazzar would promote Daniel to the third highest rank in Babylon. And in the very next verse, we actually learn that Belshazzar, in an unexpected turn, Belshazzar dies that very night. And now, a new king is put into place. A king named Darius takes over, and even more uncertainty ensues for Daniel. The conflict, the drama, it never ends. And yet he continues to stay strong, right? He never wavers. And here in chapter 6, in light of this kind of newest wave of pressure that we're going to see, I think that we will see the key to Daniel's unshakable stamina. Okay? We're going to get a glimpse. If we look closely and we listen closely, we're going to get a glimpse of what it is exactly that helps us to sustain integrity for the long haul. Chapter 6 begins, and immediately we learn that Darius found Daniel to be more capable than all of his other wise men. Big surprise, right? We could have told you that, Darius. And he begins to make plans for Daniel to take over leadership of like the entire Babylonian empire. Like he wants Daniel to be running the whole show. Okay? But the other officials in the Babylonian, you know, court, they're jealous of Daniel. This outsider, this dude that came from nowhere, they're jealous of Daniel's rise to the top and of his you know, respect and the esteem that he has. And so they want to sabotage him. And so they start searching for some kind of fault of his somewhere. They're looking for anything that they can find, any kind of dirt on him. They're looking for some kind of fault somewhere, but they can't find one. Okay, look at their conclusion, chapter 6, verse 4. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Okay, don't you hate when your enemies are like such impeccable people? It's like so frustrating. Like, man, how are they that good? Okay, they can't, they've been searching and they can't bring him down. And so they have to come up with a plan B. They come up with a plan to try to get him in trouble. And so these wise men and these officials in Darius's court, they come to this new king Darius and they tell him that he should sign a law that for 30 days, no one can pray to anyone, whether human or divine. No one can pray to anyone other than him, other than King Darius. Otherwise, they'll be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius likes the sound of this. And so he signs into law this suggestion. Right? This stuff never ends. Right? The pressure, the temperature rising, right? The walls closing in. He's got a decision to make. What is he going to do? Right? His faith will not allow him to pray to anyone other than God. But if he was ever caught praying to anyone other than Darius, it would be his death sentence. Okay? So what does he do in response to the new law of the land? Does he freak out? Does he scramble? I mean, does he, you know, hide or run away, right? Try to escape, right? Does he try to, you know, to lie or fib about where his loyalties really lie? Uh-uh. He doesn't do any of that. And so the question is, what does he do, right? We need to find out, because what he does do demonstrates for us what exactly it is that sustains integrity time and time again for the long haul. So look very closely with me as we pick up reading in verse 10. It says this, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. And he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." Did you catch it? He knelt down as usual, and he prayed just as he had always done. Folks, always and as usual, they hint at the one thing that I think Daniel displayed most. It was consistency in his life. And Midcurrent, here's what I want to suggest to you today. Consistency is the key to the lasting integrity that we want to live with day in and day out. Consistency is the key to this kind of lasting integrity. Daniel's life is on the line. It's been on the line in many ways for a long time now. But in now that the proverbial kind of line in the sand has been drawn in many ways. And Daniel knows just what to do. He does what he has always done. He prays to God as he usually did, right? It wasn't like an out of the ordinary, you know, prayer meeting that Daniel convened, right? It wasn't a last minute deal that he tried to kind of broker with God like so many of us do. Like, God, if you just get me out of this, I promise I'll go to church for the rest of my life, right? It wasn't like a late fourth quarter, you know, Hail Mary to the back of the end zone. Nothing changed. It was business as usual for Daniel in the heat of the moment. I wonder what it is, friends. I wonder what it is that might need to become business as usual for you. In light of whatever particular pressure or tension or drama or conflict that you might be in the middle of right now, or that might be coming down the pike for you. I wonder what might need to become business as usual. Maybe for you, Sunday at church with your family, maybe that needs to become business as usual. Maybe reading your Bible every day, or doing some kind of daily devotion or quiet time. There are Bible apps and devotional plans that can give you all sorts of different ways to spend time alone in God's Word or in prayer. Maybe that needs to become business as usual. Maybe accountability with one or two or three other people. Maybe a small group in your life needs to become business as usual. Maybe praying together with your spouse needs to become business as usual. Maybe forgiving your spouse at the end of the day, maybe that needs to become business as usual. Maybe forgiving the people that have hurt you in your life, maybe that needs to become business as usual. Maybe serving together as a family somewhere here at church or in the community, maybe that needs to become business as usual. This kind of list could go on. The truth is, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you're experiencing right now. I don't know what pressure or temptation or trial you're in right now. So I don't exactly know what it is for you, but I do know that when the temperature rises, right, when the pressure is mounting and when the walls are closing in, there needs to be something inside of you that is just automatic. Right? There needs to be an always. There needs to be an as usual, too, in your life. So I think the victory that we're hoping for in some area of life, I think the victory very well may depend on it. And I think that's what Daniel teaches us here in this moment in his life. See, if you grew up in church or if you ever read Bible stories for kids, which I'm not exactly sure why the potential of humans being eaten alive by ferocious lions, I'm not sure why that's like a go-to, kid story, but that's beside the point. For whatever reason, you very well may know how this story turns out, okay? The king's officials catch Daniel praying to God as he always did, just as usual. And so they report him to Darius. Darius is actually quite upset, and not at Daniel, actually. Okay? He's mad that he was convinced to sign this law that he did because he respects Daniel so much, and he doesn't have to go forward with the punishment that he put into place. But he looked and he could find no loophole. There wasn't one, right? Daniel broke the law and he had to be punished. And so Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. In the morning, Darius comes to assess the damage, the carnage. So the stone is rolled off the top of the lion's den. And Daniel is sitting safely in the middle of a pack of ferocious lions without so much as a scratch on his head. And he actually calls out to the king. He says, "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty." And the king is overjoyed. Look at how he responds to the trust that Daniel put in his God. Darius says, "I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel." It's a pretty amazing story and a pretty remarkable victory for Daniel and for the God that Daniel serves. And when we start to piece all of this together, right, the culmination of his whole life, his whole journey, his whole struggle in Babylon, when we put it all together, I think we begin to see that victory, right, in life's battles, it's never coincidental, right? And when it comes specifically to the integrity that we have been talking about over the course of this last month, here's what I want to suggest to you. Integrity is never accidental, right? Integrity in our life, in the areas that we want it most, it's never accidental. It is the result of a life of consistency, right? Consistency is the foundation that integrity in our life, it's the foundation that it's built on. Right, our integrity is the result of thousands of boring and routine and repetitive as usual moments in your life and in mine. And so the question that I want to ask you again today is where do you need these kind of as usual moments? Right, where would consistency in your life create more of the life that you want to live? And what would you need to do consistently there in that place to fuel the life that you long to be living? Do you have a list? Right? Do you have a set of as usual activities in your tool belt when the temperature rises somewhere in your life? Do you have a list of as usual activities that you turn to when your values and your morals that you stand for are being challenged and being confronted? Do you have a list of as usual activities built into your life that you rely on when it's money or status or sex or revenge or getting even that's staring at you in the face and tempting to turn you into something that you are not or that you don't want to be. Do you have a set of as usual activities that you do consistently in your life? It's one of my favorite pastors and authors. He says that successful people do consistently what most people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what most other people do occasionally. I'm challenged by that kind of thinking every time I hear it in so many different areas of my life, right? When it comes to my integrity, for one, or when it comes to my physical health, or when it comes to my spiritual life, or when it just comes to the hobbies that I enjoy, I have to challenge myself to do things consistently, intentionally, if I want to be as successful as I want to be. And I want to be arena of my life. I mean, I have a lot of goals. I'm a pretty driven dude. I want to be fit physically, and I want to be fit even more so spiritually. I want to get even better as a writer and as a communicator, right? I want to be the best dad and the best boss that I can be. I want to hit every three-point shot that I take and catch a fish on every single cast that I make, okay? It's all of these areas and so many others, big or little, significant or insignificant areas, right? It's in all these areas that I'm confronted with this reality that my success in some area that matters maybe very little, or some area of my life that maybe matters very much, right? My success is going to depend on my consistency. And so I have to ask myself, what will I do consistently to end up where I would like to be? What would I have to do consistently? And as I finish here, I just want you to notice something. I didn't say, what will I do perfectly. I didn't say, what is it that I'm going to have to do perfectly in order to end up where I'd like to be. It's not about doing it perfectly. It's just about doing it consistently. The truth is, be honest with you, the truth is we will not, I'm promising you this right now, I'm going to guarantee you right now, we will not reach perfection in anything in this lifetime on planet Earth. We won't. But we certainly can reach consistency. And I would suggest that it should be the focus of some part of your life and mine, because the truth is there is a lot at stake. And the enemy would love nothing more than to take us out in any way that he can. He would love nothing more than to just quietly or subtly sabotage our marriages or our careers or our businesses or our communities or our churches or our faith or our family or our friendships. He'd love nothing more than to just quietly sabotage everything that's important to us. And here's the thing. I hate to give the enemy too much credit, but sometimes we'd be silly not to acknowledge how effective he can be. Be silly not to acknowledge his precision, right? We cannot forget what a good shot our enemy is. And we need to know something. We need to know that he never wastes a fiery dart of his by aiming at a spot that is covered fully by any kind of armor that we wear. Right? His bullseye is located smack dab in the center of our inconsistency. And that's where the enemy, I think, plans to bring us down. It's the question is, do you and do we want to stand strong for the long haul in the face of opposition? Do we want to resist the total wave of temptation to blend in? Do we want to resist the mounting pressure, right, to buckle or to bend or to cave in the heat of the moment? Do we want to live a life of integrity for the long haul? If it's yes, then we need to know that we will do it on purpose or we will not do it at all. Friends, the enticing voice and the seductive influence of the world around us, right, of things I've mentioned, status, of sex, of money, of pleasure, of luxury, of secrecy, or popularity. All of this stuff calls out to us every single day. It fights for our attention and it all of the time. It fights for our loyalty constantly. And the key to resistance for the long haul is the consistency of our lives each and every day. Consistency is the key to the battles that we are fighting. And it may be the very thing that gets the attention of the world around us. Just like Daniel, it may be the very thing that opens the hearts of the people in our lives to the God that we serve. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for so much. I mean, this week in particular is a week that we stop and we just spend an extra, portion of time, God, to recognizing and to being grateful for how good that you are to us. God, certainly our world and maybe our community and maybe our lives and maybe our own families even, God, certainly we're not perfect, but we do stop and we do give you thanks for the ways that you are still so, so good to us. And God, we give you thanks for the last month, for these 5 weeks, and for the chance that we have had to look at people who throughout history have demonstrated integrity, God, who have demonstrated for us how it is that we live the lives that we think that you have called us to live. And so, God, I just pray that as we take in maybe what we heard today or maybe what we heard a few weeks ago or maybe what we heard each and every week throughout this last month, God, I pray that you would help us to make sense of it all. I pray that you would help us to identify some place in our life where this kind of integrity, God, is needed most. And I pray that you would give us the tools, God. I pray that you would help us to develop the resolve. God, help us to develop the tact and the way that we speak up for ourselves. God, help us to demonstrate the consistency in our lives that would help to make us into the people that we long to be. God, and as we do that, we want to honor you. God, we want people to see you in us, God, in our everyday actions. God, we want people to see you because of who it is that we are and what it is that we stand for and how exactly we do that day in and day out. God, we really believe that you are on the move and that you want to be working in our lives to be moving even more in the community and in the world around us. So God, would you help strengthen us to be the people who represent you so well in so many areas of our lives, especially the areas where the temperature rises. In those moments where our integrity really does matter most. God, we give you thanks for this day. Most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who is a gift to us that we certainly did not deserve. But because you are so good and so full of grace, you offered that gift to us anyway. So we're grateful for that, grateful for this day that we have to be together, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, we're so glad to have you here with us. I mentioned last week, and I want to do again today. I mean, certainly this story of Daniel is one about the integrity that Daniel and his friends display all along the way, but we cannot miss the other. It's not the second part. It is still a major feature of the book of Daniel, is the fact that God was so present, so active, so constant in the life of Daniel and his buddies. And just like last week, I want to make the invitation to you. If you don't know that God who stands beside you, right? If you don't know of the gift that his son Jesus is to us in the heat of the moment and whatever we're fighting right now, we want to help you to know the gift that Jesus is. We want to help you to maybe come to a place in your life where you would say yes to him. And so if that's you maybe coming to the place for the first time that you're recognizing that there is someone alongside of you that you may not know yet, we'd love to help you take another step in saying yes to Jesus. Number one, I'd be glad to have you come and share that with me. Number two, if you want to send an email to yes@midcurrentchurch.org, we want to come alongside you in a journey to get to know the gift that Jesus is, and we want to help you begin a relationship with him in a way that might make all the difference for you. Other than that, I have been informed that the tree with the ornaments that you have heard about in the video, in the 5 minutes when people walked through our doors this morning, every single gift that we needed to purchase has already been selected. So you will not see. That's amazing. I love a church that responds so generously to the needs of our community. So if you are hoping to grab one of those, there is not one for you to grab. But I can tell you what, the organization that we partner with is constantly in need of warm gear, hats, gloves, and mittens for the people that they serve day in and day out, month in and month out. So if you feel so inclined, add those gifts to the mix as we collect them next week, and we will send a big old blessing to the people who live in the very community that we do. With that, we hope you have a great week, and we hope you come back next Sunday, 10:30. We are going to be beginning a brand new series called Unexpected. We're going to be taking a closer look at the Christmas story to discover some of the big gifts that God has given to us that may just come in some of the most unique and strange packages. And so we hope that you would be here for it all starting next Sunday. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you soon. God bless you.